news and views here at News Talk 1010 WCSI and 981 FM. I'm News Director John Clark. This morning we are talking with Shannon Cook, who is the head of emergency management for Bartholomew County, Captain Mike Wilson with the Columbus Fire Department, Lieutenant Matt Harris, spokesman for the Columbus Police Department. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having us.
I know a lot of people are looking at the upcoming eclipse as a fun event, and I'm going to have a lot of enjoyment and something memorable. But we're here today, I hope, to talk a little bit about the public safety aspects that people may not have in mind and what they need to know to keep themselves and their families safe on the date. For people who may have been hiding underneath a cloud or something and have no idea when the eclipse is coming up, can we just talk a little bit about the details on and how this is going to affect Columbus and Bartholomew County?
Yeah, the eclipse is going to occur on the afternoon of Monday, April 8th, and we'll start to see the beginning of the partial eclipse around 1:50 in the afternoon. Totality, meaning that the sun being covered by the moon, will begin at 3:06 and then end at around 3:10 p.m., and then gradually phase out, and the end of the partial eclipse occurring at 4:23. So from roughly 1:50 to 4:23 is when it's going to occur. So, and I know so much is focused on the day of the eclipse, but there are a lot of events occurring throughout the weekend, and we're expecting to see those large crowds come into Columbus before eclipse day.
I've joked about it being a flood of people, but I mean, this is going to have a similar impact on getting around the community as it did back in 2008 with floodwaters. I mean, this is going to really possibly tie up a lot of traffic. How many people are we expecting, and what's it going to look like out there?
So we're expecting probably somewhere around, it depends on which numbers you read and look at, but somewhere around 75 to, we've seen as much as another 200,000 people influx into the county, and that's on top of the population we already have here. So that's a lot of traffic coming in prior to, and what we could see is just like a mass exodus at about that 3:10 time period, because what we've heard from other places in the past from 2017, that once that period of totality is done, they start to exit en masse. So that's about the number of people that we're expecting throughout the county, at least on eclipse day. But as Matt said, you know, we've got several events through the weekend that are occurring that I'm sure will draw those crowds in, and people coming in early to make sure they're here and in place.
And when we talk about all these people arriving and taking part in activities, I mean, is this kind of unprecedented? I can't remember anything like we were expecting this many people for anything we've done before.
Yeah, we were looking at it like the marathon, but on a much larger scale. You know, the marathon is contained to primarily downtown Columbus, with the race being ran on streets throughout the community. But, you know, there's going to be events all over the city and county. So thus the large influx of people to the community.
When we're talking about this influx of people coming in and the activities they're going to be taking part in, when we look at other communities who've done similar things, I know we talked before we went on the air that there's been several of them since 2017. Shannon, you mentioned, can we talk about the effect they saw? I mean, what kind of traffic tie-ups did they have, and what unforeseen problems did they notice?
So, I mean, their biggest thing with traffic is, I mean, it was hours of traffic just to make it from local traffic point A to point B. But, you know, our interstates are major state roads in and out of the community. Because we have to consider here with I-65, State Road 31, those, you know, major thoroughfares, that the travelers that are not stopping here but, you know, continuing on to other locations such as Bloomington or Franklin, as well as all of those that are coming here for our events. And so we have to consider that traffic. And then the people that are staying here and trying to make it from maybe the downtown events to up at the airport for the Eclipsing the Renaissance event that's occurring up there.
When we're looking at the major state roads and the interstates, I mean, we're not just talking people, the 200,000 people that will be here. I mean, we're going to have people coming down 65 and 31 from all across the state and maybe across the country at this point. What sort of traffic tie-ups did they have in other communities? I've heard horror stories.
Well, we certainly have learned from the Hopkinsville experience that they had up to 9 hours worth of traffic jams in some of those major highways. And then through a little bit of conversations that we've had with some other public safety entities, through some of our conferences with the state, they brought up amazing points that, you know, when you're on an interstate or a state road and you're traveling to try to avoid some of that traffic and you're using those Google Maps, everyone else is using those too. So those side roads are going to become congested as well. So that's one of the major concerns I think that anybody within this totality path is going to be contending with. So really from our perspective, one of the most important things that we can ask of travelers in our area, and particularly our local traffic, our local roadway users, is you really just have to be patient on the day of, and then, of course, the days leading up to that. You know, traffic accidents could occur. They saw a lot of evidence that people ran out of gasoline. They just weren't prepared. They potentially didn't have gasoline at the gas stations because of the amount of travelers that were out there. So those are important things that travelers will need to be thinking of.
Matt, you mentioned before we went on the air, almost considering this as if it's a blizzard event. Could you talk about that a little bit and what people might want to do?
Yeah, you know, it's a great way to explain it is you know, for us here in the Midwest, we would say, you know, plan like a large blizzard's coming. If you were on the coast, plan like the folks down there do for hurricanes, that, you know, they fill up their gas tanks, and they do so days early, and they make sure that they go to the grocery stores early to make sure that they have all the food that they need, so that not because there's a big storm coming, but so that they don't have to travel to make unnecessary trips on the day of the eclipse to help alleviate some of that congestion. So if you have a prescription that you need to be picking up, do so early. Don't wait to the last minute because, as mentioned earlier, you know, that 20-minute trip could take hours. And so a little bit of preparation could help out a whole lot.
So for the public safety aspect of it, what's going to happen to our cell phone network when you have 200,000 people all trying to make phone calls?
Well, it can certainly overtax that network, and, you know, cell phone usage may be very, very limited at that point. And, you know, there's also indications that in the Hopkinsville 2017 eclipse that the, you know, social media use and everybody using their phones all at one time just crash that ability to be able to use those. So communications may be a challenge during that time.
You're listening to News and Views here at News Talk 1010 WCSI 91 FM. We'll be back in just a minute with more News and Views. This morning I'm talking with Shannon Cook, Mike Wilson, and Matt Harris with talking about the eclipse and emergency planning.